Rabbi, good evening. I must tell you, I've got this sefer about the stories of Arnleib Steinman. I got it a while ago, and I'm just going through it again. It's incredible. He has a strong chizik from going through the stories of Arnleib Steinman. But his liotza was just not before Hanukkah, literally a week and a bit ago. It's quite incredible. I just saw a story. It's so striking. It's such an important story. This was long before he was famous. Arnleib Steinman. He was pretty famous the last few years of his life, but this was long before he was famous when he was in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. He lived in Bnei Brak. And at one point, he needed to go to Yerushalayim to meet somebody. I think it was the Biskel, but I'm not sure about that. But he had to go to Yerushalayim. And he decided he's going to take the bus. Now, once he got near the bus station, he realized it's not for him to go on the bus. He thought the pritzes and the tznias wasn't for him to go on the public bus to go to Yerushalayim. Then he said it's not right for him, and then he decided that instead of that he's gonna take a taxi. Now a taxi from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim now is no big deal. You know, it just takes a minute and you just go on it. It costs quite a lot, but it's not a big deal to get in those days. Going back in the early 1960s, this was quite a big deal to actually get a taxi and to have it, and furthermore, it was very, very expensive, far more than what Arnleib could really afford. But he decided that he has to go to Yerushalayim, he has to have this meeting, and he's going to come back and he's going to spend a lot of money. What happened was that just as he was standing there to arrange for the taxi, there's a car just drives past, and lo and behold, it's one of his Talmidim who happens to have a car on that day. Now, in the 60s, to have a car wasn't so comfortable. It happens to be that his Talmid was just driving past with a car, and he asked Rosh Shiva, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" He says, "I'm on my way to Yerushalayim." He says, "I have a meeting." So he says, "You know what? I've got a car today. You know, just such a shkocha parties. Let me take you down." And he refused. He says, "No, I'm not going to take your offer." And he was very stubborn about this. He says, "No, please, it's an honor for me to take you down." And he absolutely refused. And he didn't. And even once, when he was asked, him, he didn't. And when he asked him why, "It would be such an honor for me to take you. I'd really enjoy it. I can have an hour to discuss things with you on the way there and out to that." He said, "No, I'm not." And he asked him, "Is it because you don't want to take something from me?" He said, "No, I'll explain it to you." So Arnleib explained, and he says that, you know, time is so precious. You know, whatever you'd want to give me, if somebody gives me something, I want to give it back. And there's always a way of returning something back. You know, you do me a favor, then I'll pay for it, or I'll show you gratitude. But if you are driving me down to Yerushalayim, that's 1.5 hours each way, plus an hour's wait. So good few hours you're giving your life, you're giving for me. I have no currency to pay you for that." He says, I just can't pay you. This is 4 hours of your life. I have no means of paying you. I just don't have the currency to pay you for 4 hours." And he said, "I'd rather pay fortune, you know, for a taxi. That's something I check and pay. I'll make my money back. I'll pay you. But to take hours of your life for my own personal benefit, have no way of paying you back." And he didn't take the offer. And he paid his fortune and a half to go to drive down, take a taxi and back, and he didn't take the offer. It's just unbelievable. You see such incredible, that story, I think, infuses me with a lot of, first of all, you see the Yiras Shamayim, and you see Gadlus, you see real genuine Gadlus about, you see Akos HaTov, you see Benom El Chavero, you see the value of time, you see it all. It's, I think it's a very powerful story. I just wanted to share it with you. Arnleib Steinman, Zichron Livracha, it's quite, it's funny because I was a few times by him when I was a bocher, and it's only a few times, but a few times you see genuine, it's gedolim from the picture books. You really see something on a completely different league. It's like miles away from anything else. He really gives a person so much to see such real gadlus. Okay, Rabbi, so up to Simon Shin Chof Ches. We are going to finish the Simon Beis Hashem today, and as well as entering Simon Shin Chof Tes, which is the natural continuation of Simon Shin Chof Ches. So we discussed Yesterday, we finished off with the sword, the knife, which is called, and now we're going to continue with Sif Mem Zayin, which tells us the following: Etzem Shotzim Koymoi, and a bone which got dislocated, a dislocated bone. Etzem Shotzim Koymoi. What would you say? Is in pain. Dislocated bone. Can you return it? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Why?
Intense pain.
Intense pain? It probably is. Okay. Good. So that's definitely the simple understanding. It's based on what we discussed the last couple of evenings, that if something is unachievable with medicines, then it's going to be mutter. So that's Etzem Shotzim Koymoi, a bone which got dislocated, it came out of its place. Machzirin Oysa, you're allowed to return it. Now, interestingly, the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot Kuf Mem Hei doesn't take it as such as pshitas, and he says as follows: Shiotzim Koymoi, Hamogen Avraham Cholek Al Zeh, when Kuf Mem Hei, the Hamogen Avraham disagrees with this, Vesvir Eleni holds that no, to return a bone, that's actually forbidden. Only the dafke etzem shenishba mutalach. So only if it's a broken bone, only then you can put it back. Kedisa b'gemor, but that's what the Gemara says explicitly. Avol etzem shenishma b'mkoma, but a bone which got dislocated, also it is prohibited lachzira to return it. The afidu l'shavshim haba b'tzonin, also as we learned early in Sif Lamed, even to put cold water over it will be also too. Kedisa b'Sif Lamed for kolchkin chazon, certainly to make that movement to return the bone in its place. V'tiku kam achronim, and various numerous achronim agree with the Hamogen Avraham that a dislocated bone may not be placed in its normal place. Mikol makom, but however, halidei yehudi through a goy nireh she'en la'achmir, it is permitted. However, the Shulchan Atzeh Shittim holds Cholek al Hamogen Avraham, disagrees with Hamogen Avraham. The Kosevani holds the Kol Shiotzim Koymoi Legamre, if it's completely dislocated, Shikorin Asgelengt, which is literally dislocated, Chashivas Sakonas Eva, it's considered a Sakonas Eva. I imagine it's got to do with which, depends on which bone, I suppose. Not every dislocated bone is a Sakonas Eva, I'm not sure. But he said that at times it certainly will be Sakonas Eva. If it is properly dislocated, certain bones will be considered a Sakonas Eva. K'mei Nishba, and it is same then broken, Im Lachzirenu Miyad. And if you don't see to the bone now and put it back in its joint immediately, there is Sakonas Eva involved, and therefore it will be permitted according to Shulchan Atzeh Shittim. For Shori Lachzin, it is permitted to return, afilu even Haladei Sol through Yid. So the Mishnah seems to be matir that if we hold that is a Sakonas Eva, it's going to be permitted like the Shulchan Atzeh Shittim. But Hamogen Avraham holds that no, if it's broken, you're allowed to see to it. If it's not broken, just dislocated, you may not return it back. Only a goy can push it back. Yeah, now I don't know what you think about dislocated joints, dislocated bones. Sakonas Eva? No, it's Sakonas Eva. Must be, yeah. 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 Do you think that it might be a Sakonas Eva?
I don't know if it's medical stuff, but it sounds a bit, doesn't sound very good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if people were stronger in previous generations, and so it wasn't such a big deal back then.
You think that nowadays, due to the certain weakness that we have,
it might be, perhaps.
Okay, the Ma'aser Mishneh Berurah is matir. He says that you have to put it back because it's a Sakonas Eva very often. Sif Mem Ches, also Niach Begid Al Mako, a piece of clothing, material. You have to put a bit of material, Begid, the clothing, Al Mako on a wound. Shiyoitzim Menudam, that blood comes out from the wound. You're not allowed to put material on it, on the wound. Mipnei, because Shadom Yitzpah Oysoi, because the blood will make it nice and colorful. And you're doing Tzvi on Shabbos. We know that coloring on Shabbos is a melocha, Tzvi'ah. And here you've got this beautiful white shirt and a brand new nice shirt, and you're putting it on the wound. You're going to have it nice and red. So you're coloring on Shabbos. You're coloring on Shabbos. But also, loyalty, dam, Me'amako, and you're certainly allowed to squeeze the blood out in order to have a colorful red coming out. That's certainly also. But even placing something on the wound is also. V'lochein, therefore, yeshlircha etzamaka b'mayim, you must wash the wound with water, oy, or b'yayin, with wine, techila, before, lehavir dam shel makah, in order to remove the blood from the wound. You remove the blood with water or wine, and thereby wine for two. First of all, very practically, there was no other liquids besides water and wine, but also wine the red. And once you've got red, then it doesn't matter to have the blood. V'yesh oimrim, and some say, the shekorech korei achpish ala mako, you have to take korei achpish, that's some spider webs. You have to take spider webs ala mako on the wound, humechase boim kol adam, v'kol achabura, v'achar korei chol of smartut. You have to take this on top of the wound, and afterwards, so shekorech korei achpish ala mako, you're taking a bit of spider web, you're putting this on the wound, humechase boim kol adam, and you're covering it up in a way that the blood doesn't come out, v'kol, humechase boim kol adam, and the entire wound is covered up that way. And after that, afterwards you put a shmata over it, and that would be permitted because you're seeing to the wound through the kerei achpesh, and afterwards you're putting shmatas on it. That's permitted. Let us see a bit more. Rabbi, so what's your feeling about this beged, the beged on the wound? What's your feeling on it? You don't have to put the beged on a wound because it gets red. Very good. So you're saying correctly that this is teich lechloch. You're making it dirty, you know. It's not tzoveh. Tzoveh is when you're actually productive, you're doing something, you're achieving something, right? It's very close to the melechas of kosev, of writing. When you're coloring something, I can hear, you're coloring a nice picture, you're painting something nice, that I hear is tzoveh. But here, you're not really coloring anything in a positive manner. What you're doing actually is, you're destroying this nice shirt. You're destroying you're destroying it. It was white and now it's got red stains on it. Why is that called tzoveh? It's teich lechloch, as you're saying. Mishneh Berurah. Sevkotn kuf memvov. Bottom line, although he was a mekalkel, and mekalkel is potu, nevertheless, lechatchila is still not to do it. Who veged adam, and if it's a red cloth, pshita also, it's certainly also. So the Mishnah Berurah differentiates. And once again, he continues. So the Mishnah Berurah said that yes, it is mekalkel, but it's still also lechatchila. And he says if it's a red piece of clothing, it's certainly also because you are making it even more red. You're making it nicer. That's even you're enhancing the red. But if it's under difficult circumstances, the achronim have agreed the eshlokel that you may be lenient to the achlichluch because it is the achlichluch and you're making it dirty and therefore it's going to be permitted. Okay, so Rabbi Yisai, what's your feeling on that? Does that really mean that you're not allowed to take, the shirt example. Take a shirt, put it on the wound, he's also. Pardon? Bleed to death. No, because we're talking about a beged, right? So we've spoken about plasters earlier, which is fine. Gauze. Yeah. Okay, so comes along, they're good, that's what I want to address. Does that mean, the poskim asked, that any type of, hey, you know what, even like tissues. Yeah, what about tissues? Yeah, let's do tissues. You have a bit of a cut. You want to put a tissue on. You don't have to put a tissue on you've got a bit of a cut and it's bleeding, you want to put a bit of tissue on. Is that also because you're tzoveh, you're coloring? Is that really true? So comes Reb Karelitz and other poskim, they say, of course not. Of course not. If it's an item that you're going to put in a dustbin in a minute, so obviously that's not called tzoveh. Tzoveh is if you've got something, at least to some extent, something positive. You're actually achieving over here, coloring to some extent. You're giving it some color. But if it's something which is going to end up in the dustbin, be it a piece of a tissue, be it something. What was your example? A bandage they're going to put in the dustbin. Anything that's going to end up in the dustbin, there's obviously no issa in it. And that's mutal lechatchila even. It's mekalkel, it's echlichluch. And you're allowed to use that to clean your your wound. That's not a shaila at all. And that's what the poskim agree. So, but yes, if a person has got, now I am struggling to understand exactly the scenario here, because most items that we have, which are white, we want them to stay white, generally. No? So the shirt example, you've got a nice shirt, and is it really also to, is that what he means? That you don't have to put a white shirt on the wound because it's going to be tzevea? According to the Mishnah, it looks like it is also, but that's something which I'm not really grasping, because that will certainly be, it is, as you're saying, it is derech lechloch, and it is mekalkel, and so the poskim have agreed that something which is going to end up in the dustbin is mutter, but surely also something which is white and is not going to end up in the dustbin, surely should be mutter as well, yeah. That you're going to wash it off. So, yeah. So you're saying that, so therefore you're saying that it's not severe in the first, it's not permanent? What are you saying? That it's not? So you're saying that, are you saying that it's not severe because it's not your intention? Yeah, it's a svar. It's a potentially, yeah.
I can't remember the term, but when you have an item that you use not for its intended use, and then you can't use it for the rest of Shabbos, it becomes muksa. What's the expression? So presumably one of the assumption here would be that you are now not able to wear the shirt. And it's now become muksa, essentially.
Yeah, but he says also in Yachpeged and Amakos, it's the actual action of placing it there is also. He's not referring to its status, whether it's mukta or not.
But the point is that we can look, why is it osa to do that? Because you're now taking it out of its intended use. So it doesn't have a function anymore for the rest of Shabbos.
Yeah, so you're making it into something which has no function anymore. I hear. Okay, that's it's something to think about. I don't know, it's something to chashben at. I hear. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, ready for Sif Mem test. Also, losim psilu b'fiyat habas. It is also to put a suppository psilu b'fiyat habas from the back. It is also to do so. Kederech shana gimlasis limishut. Also, the way it's done, somebody is constipated and he suffers from constipation. It is also to put a psilo in there. Elohim kein, unless yosim oisu b'shinui, unless a person places it in there b'shinui, in an irregular manner. Shechzenu b'shtei etzbois, that he holds it, this psilo, with two fingers. V'yanichenu benachas, and he inserts it slowly, in an irregular way. So if it's done b'shinui, it is mutter. If it's done the regular way, it is also. Let's see a bit more in the Mishnah Berurah. Sif mem kuf mem tes, sif, seif, kuf nun, he says, no, that's not the one I want to see. So kuf nun base. V'lo yovol de, benachas is to it slowly. V'lo yovol de zinin asharas nibin. He won't hurt himself, is to it slowly. It is only obviously talking about this suppository. This was prepared from before Shabbos. But if you're trying to create such a medicine on Shabbos, that's obviously also. Even if you've got a way of creating some sort of suppository on Shabbos, that's obviously going to be also. That will be also mishumakev patish. But to insert it is also on Shabbos unless you're doing it b'shinui. Now I also want to point out an interesting shaila. There is a sheretz aluka, which is he called a leech? Yeah, a leech, which sucks blood. Is that still done nowadays? Not much, huh? To put the leech on a wound, they suck the blood. Apparently, there is a medical. I mean, I can understand. I can imagine that there's a medical value in it. Imagine, you want to put the one on, you look away and you put it and wait for it to, yeah. But that with that mutter also.
It depends, but then it would obviously be if it's pikuach nefesh.
Not pikuach nefesh. Not pikuach nefesh.
Isn't there a separate issue to draw blood?
Says the Mishnah Berurah. This is in uh, In the Mishnah of Kodem Kufim Zayin, excuse me for going back a little bit, Hamedapek Sheretz Aluka, somebody who puts a leech on himself, Shetim Tzoy Tzdom, that should suck blood, Metzadar Magavom, there is Chiyuv Bezer, it's in Chiyuv Dereise, it's in Issa Dereise, Alken also Bechol Zeh, Lekula Alman, Lassus, Lede Yisrael, Lecholish, and Bezakona, it will be also for any Chole, Shetim Tzoy Tzakona, Hele Dein Yehudi, but a Goy may place it on it. Amoitzetz dam befiv min achabur chayev. Similarly, also somebody who sucks himself from his own mouth, he sucks blood on the wound. That's also chayev. To suck blood is chayev. Is also the reis. Lachin also nimtzetz dam shebin hashinaim, and it is even also to suck the blood between the teeth. Person's got some sort of, it's got something is bleeding, and he sucks his blood from and between the teeth, the gums. That's also says Mishnah Berurah. He said that's also. No, all week is not a problem, only on Shabbos. Shabbos. Okay, that's with regards to Simon Shin Chof Ches. Before we proceed to Shin Chof Ches, I want to just address one point which we didn't learn to be Alach in great detail, but I want to mention it. With regards to Gzeiras Shchika Samamonim. We have learned extensively that there's the Gzeira of Shchika Samamonim, which is the Gzeira of grinding herbs for creating a medicine. And that's the reason why Rafu is also on Shabbos. Who does this Issa? Who is not allowed to take a medicine? Who is this gzeira established for? Who did Chazal mean when they said you may not take a medicine on Shabbos because of gzeira? How to shchika samamonim? So let's think. A chole sheyesh bo sakana, halach is obviously going to be. Is obviously you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So obviously, that also includes the issue of taking medicines. So obviously, somebody is in danger. Is allowed to take medicines. What about on the other side, somebody who is bori, somebody who is healthy. Somebody is healthy and wants to take a medicine. Halacha is, if somebody is healthy and wants to take a medicine, for whatever reason, he can't. Oh, so there's a chiddush, that somebody is healthy, the gzeira was never set on him. A bori is allowed to take medicines. That's. Now, what about, so who is the gzeira set to? Who is the gzeira set to? So, going down from Cholesh Yesh Bazakona to Cholesh Ha'em Bazakona, there's a machloikas as to whether the Gzeira of Shrika Samonim is said on a Cholesh Ha'em Bazakona. The maskona of the Mishnah Berurah is that a Cholesh Ha'em Bazakona is allowed to take medicines. Cholesh Ha'em Bazakona, somebody is literally defined as a Cholesh Ha'em Bazakona, somebody who is Chole, but he's not Sakona. Mishnah Berurah, Bialocha, and many other Cholim are Matir. Matir that, yes, he's allowed to take medicine. Yes, to be a chole kol haguf, or mitzta'er, that his whole body's, defined, was chole shem b'sakona was defined earlier, has mishesh lemeichos mitzta'er v'chole mina kol gufoy, it's either his entire body, or sufficient that he's going to lie down from pain. Either that he's not functional enough to operate normally, or he's literally, or it's affect, it's either affect his whole body, or he's unable to function normally. Somebody who wouldn't normally go to bed. That's a chole shem b'sakona. Shenofel machmas choli lemishkov. Or yesh lemeichas mitzta'a v'chol memena kol gufoy. Now, he, the Mishnah Berurah, is matir that he's allowed to take a medicine. The one that is also to take a medicine is a meichas. A meichash is somebody who is slightly in pain, he's a bit uncomfortable, he's not well. We've spoken earlier about the exact definition of a meichash. Somebody who is a meichash, he is the one that Chachomim established the gzeir of medicine, which therefore means, Rabbi Yisai, somebody who has got a slight headache on Shabbos, and he takes a medicine, a paracetamol, to relieve his pain. He doesn't have to go to bed, he's not like knocked out, finished, you know, he can't. He's not that level. He's just got a bit of a headache, you know. He's been in pain. A person who is like that, in that category, and he takes a medicine on Shabbos, he's over on Issa D'Rabbanon of Shrika Samamonim.
He's a healthy person.
Pardon?
Who's the healthy person?
Somebody who's, you know, fine. Well, say for instance, he's taking it as a protective measure or whatever, you know. Perhaps, yeah. Yeah. So, but if somebody's a meichash, that means he's in pain, he's taking medicine for pain relief or he's taking it because something is uncomfortable. Somebody's got, we spoke about constipation earlier, somebody's constipated, he doesn't feel good, and he wants to take something to, that would be awesome, because of Shrikas Amonim. It's an Issa D'Rabbanan, a proper Issa D'Rabbanan. So, and that's why it's a bit, it's against the logic, maybe, because a person would normally say it's Oinek Shabbos, Kovat Shabbos, you know, it's not Shabbos tick to have a headache, and it's not nice, and it's not good. So here comes the Issa D'Rabbanan, that's where the Issa D'Rabbanan actually kicks in. And says, no, you know, that's an Issa D'Rabbanan. If he feels worse than that, and he will be categorized as a Chodesh Ein B'Sakon, and then he would be allowed to. But before that, it will be also. Other examples will be that any other examples? Somebody is a mechush, he's not allowed to take a medicine. Another example? Perhaps. Slight uncomfortable, slight discomfort, slight toothache, pardon? A cough. Somebody's got a cough and he wants to take a cough. Yeah, cough medicine, very good. Lemsip. Somebody's a little bit under the weather and he wants to take, yeah? Yeah, so fine. So somebody's ill, he's allowed to take it. Somebody's just not feeling so great, sore throat a bit like this, he's not allowed to take it. So lemsip could be that it's Michael Bream, I'm not sure, will people take it when... Yeah. It's could. I'm not even sure, it could be the Michael Bream, I don't know if it's Michael Bream or not.
So who decided about this limit?
Who? Yeah. So I've got a Shulchan Aruch that defines... You have to decide. No. So you have to think yourself. Is it something I can manage, or is it something that no, I'm going to be in bed. I can't like this. I'm going to be in bed. If you say no, I can't, then it's a mutable. Otherwise, it would be also. Yeah, there's a bit of a discussion. What happens if somebody is a very strong natured person, and then the people that never end up being unwell because you always like to push themselves to hold, you know, people who push themselves. So what's the halacha about those people? It's an interesting shaila. Okay, Rabbi Sai, this is what we, just to summarize what we learned this evening. We spoke about putting a dislocated bone. We said Mishnah Berurah is matir, contrary to the Shulchan Aruch, and he says that broken bone is certainly mutter as well. We spoke about putting something, a baguette on a wound which is bleeding. We spoke about Shulchan Aruch asks it, but because of tzever, but when it's derech lichluch, it would be muta. We spoke about squeezing blood out, which is also. We spoke about suppository for constipation, which is also, unless it's on b'shinui. And we summarized the Issa, Shrikas Amonim, in which category it will be mutim, which one will also. And we will be able to continue with the Shin Chav test tomorrow, which is the natural continuation of what we learned until now. Good evening.